Well, as I said, we're finishing our Gospel Partnership series, and thanks to those of you who have spoken to me after previous sermons. It's always lovely as a preacher to get some feedback, and this morning we're breaking the talk into two sections again. I gather that was quite popular last week, and so it's repeating again this week. I can't promise anything beyond that, but let me pray for us as we think about God's words together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, as Johnny was already saying, that you are a God who speaks to us through your words. And we pray now, as we think about this part of the scriptures and have another part read shortly, that you might open our eyes to see you more clearly. You might open our hearts to believe your truth. And you might open up our lives to live faithfully for you. If we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As usual, there's a handout on the back of the notice sheet, and you'll see there's a question to start things off there. What do you do with your unwanted old crockery? Maybe you're the kind of person who just sort of throws it in a bin, takes it to the tip, something like that. Maybe you take it to the charity shop, or maybe you take it to church. And I think our church hall kitchen bears testimony that some people have certainly done that in the past. I must confess that I've nicked this illustration from Bishop Philip. He used it as a clergy study day that Johnny and I were at a few months ago, thinking about this theme for this morning of generosity, gift, and grace. Generosity, gift, and grace. I think there should be a picture. Brilliant there. And there we were being encouraged to think about this. We were being encouraged to teach about it in our church family. So I'm being very obedient to the bishop. That makes a change. And we're thinking about such things this morning. But Philip's point was, like with our old crockery, when we've kind of finished with it and we haven't really got any use for it, we sort of think, oh, well, maybe the church can make use of it. And we take it along and sort of leave it there. And it's a bit chipped and cracked and doesn't match and all the rest of it. But, you know, it'll do for church, won't it? Well, is that our approach in kind of every area of our lives? With our time, with our love, with our energy, with our money, not just with our crockery. Is that the approach that we have to give to church, to give to the Lord? Sort of the bits at the fringes, the change we've got in our pocket, the spare time that we can sometimes rustle up. Well, hopefully as we think about God's word this morning, we'll come to a different view than that. As we follow through this Gospel Partners series, we've been thinking, haven't we, about what we believe. Great to hear Mark speaking about that, that what we believe about the Lord Jesus is absolutely central to there being joy in us as a church family. That as we believe God has sent the Lord Jesus to be our Saviour and that he calls us to faith in him and we're united in him, that will share itself in fruit in our lives. We thought about the love, the particular love that Jesus calls his people to have one for the other. Then we, with David McClay on our church weekend at home, we were thinking about speaking about the Lord Jesus to those outside of our church family, to be witnesses in our local community, which is, you know, very important for us here in Ashton, being so sort of locally rooted. Last week we were then thinking about speaking to God in prayer as undergirding everything that we do together as a church family. And today, thinking about giving. And first half of this talk is going to be thinking about giving in every way. The second part, after we've sung, we'll be focusing in on our finances. And I just want to start with some words of the Lord Jesus from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 should be on the screen. Jesus said to the crowds, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." That is the call to being one of Jesus' people. We've thought about a framework from a book called The Vine Project, that as we grow as Christians, we're wanting to move to the right together. I've got a picture for that, hopefully, as well. Moving to the right. First of all, when you become a Christian, you step out of the dominion of darkness into God's wonderful light, the kingdom of the Son he loves. And then you're moving through your Christian life, forever learning, forever growing. And growing in that obedience to deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow the Lord Jesus as we head towards that final gathering in the new creation around the throne of the Father and the Lamb. And that's our great objective together. as a church family. That's the adventure we're on together. That's what we're trying to help and what we're partnering in here as a church family. And as we've heard, we can partner with others in our region, in our nation, in our world. And the children are learning in junior church about partnering with our mission partners in the UK and around the world this morning. And it's actually, therefore, giving in every way is a part of our obedience to the Lord Jesus. It's not a sort of optional extra. It is about being a disciple. Being a disciple is costly. It's denying yourself things. It's going to hurt. Only people who head towards their death would take up their cross daily. And we need to engage with that as we think about this. But before we dive more into that, I want to come back to those words in Romans 12 under this first heading of sacrificial giving, sacrificial giving. And before we think about what we do, we just need to go right back to what we believe once again. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice, as Paul says? Well, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It is all based on the mercy that God has shown us. Paul, by this stage, has spent 11 chapters of this wonderful letter explaining God's mercy in glorious technicolor, in wonderful detail. And now as he gets to chapter 12, all that I've written in view of all of this, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. It's a new concept in the Bible. Up until now, every sacrifice has been dead. Joe was teaching XDB in our garden in a wonderful new tent about the tabernacle and the dead sacrifices that went on there. You killed an animal, you shed its blood. That's what sacrifices were all about in the Old Testament. But Jesus has come and offered that once and for all perfect sacrifice that we'll remember later in the bread and the wine. And that is the final dead sacrifice that is needed. It ends the need for all of them. It's what all the other ones pointed to. And therefore now sacrifices are different. They're living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God. Holy is just being devoted to God in every way. Serving him, honoring him, pleasing to him. And this is our worship of him, our true and proper worship, as verse 1 says. In the older version it said spiritual act of worship or reasonable act of worship. If we are a disciple, this is logically what follows. If God has poured such mercy into our lives, we want it to pour out of our lives onto others as well. And so we'll be different from the world around us, Paul says. And wonderfully, we know that this is God's will for us. Sometimes people tie themselves up in knots about what God's will for their life is. Well, Paul tells us here in Romans 12, verse 2. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And it is to be a living sacrifice, to offer our lives in sacrifice to him. And it is good for us. It is pleasing to God and to us. It is perfect. It is us fulfilling what we were created for. That is why God made us. And so he carries on from mercy to grace. God has poured his grace into our lives as well. We'll be thinking about that in a little while. As Paul says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. God's mercy and grace will help us to have a right view of him, and how amazing and wonderful and generous he is, and the gift he has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it will also help us to see ourselves right. Think of yourself with sober, honest, accurate judgment. And that is in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. We're all different. God treats us all as different. Some of us have been Christians longer, some not so long. Some have had the opportunities to grow very quickly as Christians, some it's not been so easy for one reason or another. And God asks us to respond in accordance to what we know and to what we have received. Not according to what someone else knows or what someone else has received. According to the measure of faith that we have received into our hearts. And it is in accordance with that that we are to respond by faith, by serving. And Paul paints this wonderful picture in these verses, doesn't he, of a healthy body made up of lots of different parts or members, all serving together. You know, the foot not trying to be a hand, and the hand not trying to be an eye, and the eye not trying to be an ear and a brain, and so it goes on. But each recognizing we are different, we have our different roles to play. That is how God has designed it. And so we don't envy one another. We don't judge ourselves against one another. We judge ourselves against what God has given us in Christ. And we all share the same grace that Mark was talking about, but he gives different gifts to each of us. The scriptures make that clear. So we mustn't compare with one another. We look to God and to the Lord Jesus, and we respond by faith to what we have received from him. In our lives, in our hearts. And so we give of ourselves, our time, our energy, our love, our hospitality, our possessions, our money, every area of life. Just end this first section of the talk by thinking about, well, just have a go. Have a go at serving. If you're not sure what your gifts are, David McClay had a great little sort of thing on this. I can't remember exactly what he said. I should have gone back and had a listen. But basically, if you notice something in church that isn't as good as it should be or isn't right or that you have a bit of a problem with, then that might be God putting it on your heart to get involved and rectify that problem. So don't come and whinge at me, but offer to do something about it, basically, was his application. I think that was pretty much what he said, wasn't it? Give or take. Just have a go. See if serving in one way or another is a way that God has gifted you. To help you with that, over coffee, Shell, our administrator, has a number of role descriptions of different areas of church life. She'll have a little administrator's stool. You can go and talk to her and say, oh, just give me a bit of information about this, that, or the other. Maybe you're serving in one way and you want to try something different or try something as well. Maybe you're not really serving at all in those kind of particular ways and want to get involved. And there's all sorts of areas. Every Sunday morning we experience, don't we, a welcome at the beginning of the service, tea and coffee after it. People read the Bible. People pray to lead us in prayer, as Joe will be doing later. There's lots of stuff going through on in the hall, isn't there, with leading our children and young people in their different groups. Throughout the week there's XTB, there's Jam Club at school, there's Noah's Ark, there's Saturdads, there's the seniors' afternoon teas. We'd love to have more people visiting one another in our local community. There's the newsletter, contributing to that, editing that, being on the PCC, helping with events like the Fates and all the other events that we put on. There's maintenance around the church building that sort of Nick and Dave head up on the buildings committee. There are safeguarding things that we need to think about. There's gardening, there's flower arranging, there's admin. You know, Paul's list in Romans 12 is minute, really, isn't it? There's all sorts of ways we can be involved. And I don't believe that there's no way in which you can be involved. If you are part of this church family, it is healthy for you and for the rest of us to get stuck in. It is good, pleasing, and perfect to God, to one another, and to you. Because it will help you to experience Christ more in your life. I heard this little illustration of what kind of Christian are you? There's a picture of the Holy Land, and the River Jordan is running from north down to south, and at the top there you've got the Sea of Galilee, at the top arrow, and at the bottom the Dead Sea. Are you a Sea of Galilee Christian or a Dead Sea Christian? Let me explain what I mean. The River Jordan runs into the top of the Sea of Galilee, and it sort of the water makes its way down and it flows out the bottom. The Sea of Galilee is wonderfully alive with fish and all sorts of creatures. It's healthy. It's a wonderful environment. The water flows in and it flows out again. Are you a Christian who receives God's mercy and grace into your life and then pour it out in service of him and his people? And the gospel. The Dead Sea is very different. The River Jordan goes in, there is no exit. If you know anything about the Dead Sea, you know you can float in it. That's because it is dead, like its name, and it's full of salt and not much else. The water flows in and it's a cul-de-sac, it's a dead end. Are you a Christian who's received God's mercy and You're not allowing it to flow through you. It's not healthy, Paul says. Jesus says it's not even obedience. I'd love to help us all to know how we can serve God in this healthy, Jesus-honoring, vibrant, joyful way together. Well, before we continue, we're going to sing again at that point. And once again, I want us to return to thinking about God's wonderful mercy and grace to us. A couple of the verses of this song finish with, "Our Father's full giving is only begun. He giveth and giveth and giveth again." That is the kind of God we love, serve, and follow. Let's stand to sing together. Thank you, Susanna. Great thing about having two mini talks is that when you forget something, you remember singing a song. I forgot music on that list, and it's wonderful that Steph's just started serving on music this morning by playing the piano for us. So there you go. There's an example of someone getting stuck in. And it's a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful joy to be able to serve together. And I know many across our church family experience that as they do so. And I'm so grateful to God for the ways in which so many people serve so generously already. And as I said, in this second half, we're going to be thinking particularly about what I've called the grace of giving, a phrase taken there from 2 Corinthians 8. And really, 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 are an extended part of the scriptures really focusing on this area of particularly financial giving by God's people to the work of the gospel going out into all the world. And again, as I start, it was really encouraging at PCC the other day for Claire to be able to report that in response to our annual meetings, where she sort of laid out some of the financial need that I'll be reiterating this morning for those who weren't there, that some of our giving has gone up. Some new people have begun giving to our church family, and some have increased their giving as well. So we give great thanks to God for that. Because Paul gives this challenge, doesn't he, in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7. "But since you excel in everything, see that you also excel in this grace of giving." The Corinthian church was very gifted in all sorts of very visible and manifest ways. And Paul wanted their giving to match step for step every other area of the life of the church family. And we want to do that as a church family as well. God's blessed us in so many ways with so many gifts, and we want our financial giving to be keeping pace with the rest of our church life. There is, hopefully as you came in, you were given one of these leaflets. A lot of what I'm saying is backed up by what's written on these leaflets. You can take them away with you and have a further read and have a think and have a pray. Encouragements on there, and on sort of page 3 of it, there's a side you can fill in and how to respond to what we're thinking about in terms of giving financially. On there, I've outlined four particular sort of headings for us from these chapters in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And the first one is that the grace of giving is to be graceful, full of grace. Chapter 8, verses 1 to 5, and verse 9 in particular. Later, we're going to be sharing the Lord's Supper, communion. We're going to be remembering all that Jesus gave for us, aren't we? We're going to be receiving that together. Verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich beyond measure, the panoply of heaven was his. Yet for your sake he became poor. He took on flesh. He lived a humble life. He had nowhere to lay his head at night. And he walked step by step to a shameful, painful death on the cross for us. And why did he do that? So that you, through his poverty, might become rich." What do we most value in life? Is it the riches of this world and all the shiny things that down here has to offer? Or is it the heavenly riches we have in Christ? The more we focus on him and all that he has given to us, the lighter our hold on all that around us will be. That is what I mean by graceful. Full of grace, our eyes full of his riches, not the earthly ones. The grace of giving, it is good to be planned, to to be planned, to think about needs that might be out there. That's part of what the sheet there will outline for us, and I'll come to some more things later in this little talky bit. The world is very good at this, aren't they? Think of Red Nose Day. There they go, having lots of fun things, but always interspersed. They hit you hard, emotionally, compassionately, with the need, don't they, by showing you heart-rending little video clips of horrific situations that people face around the world. And people respond to that, don't they? The travesty is that you cannot take a picture of a soul that is headed for hell. If we could show that to people, then it would change people's approach, I think, to giving. In the gospel, there is a need that is far more serious, far more urgent, far greater than anything Red Nose Day can show us. People dying without hope in the Lord Jesus and headed for an eternity in hell. There is a need for us to respond to. As a church family, in and of ourselves, and to other Christian ministry around the world. That is true charity. That is gospel, eternal charity. That's what I mean by being planned. Think of what our money will achieve in eternity. We can use earthly riches to bring about eternal, lasting change. What a privilege. What a responsibility for us. It needs to be planned in terms of being thought through, to think it through prayerfully. If you're a single person on your own, if you're married with a spouse, with family, speak to other Christians in our church family if you want guidance on this. Thought through, prayed through, and carried through, acted upon. Now, don't just think and talk, but act. Respond in one of the ways outlined in the leaflets. Be a good steward of all that God has entrusted to you. Because as the Old Testament tells us, everything we've received isn't really ours. It's only God's anyway. If we're a follower of the Lord Jesus, then everything we belongs to him. And we are to give generously, therefore, of whatever is already. And we're all in different circumstances. That measure of faith argument that I outlined in the first part applies here as well. We're all in different circumstances, different phases of life. We have different financial commitments and responsibilities, so we don't compare. I have no idea what anyone in the church family gives or if they give at all. I don't want to know. It wouldn't be helpful for me to know. Because it's not about comparisons, it's about us honestly appraising, planning, thinking through before the Lord. Now, there are questions around maybe we're saving up to buy a house or something like that, and how that will affect our giving. Maybe we're paying off a mortgage and those kind of things. Maybe we're married to someone who's not a Christian. They might support us giving money away to Christian work. They might not. We'll need to talk that through with them. It is different for everyone. But it is a mature response to the Lord Jesus and following him that we think about it, we pray about it, we act upon it. Feel free to speak to me if you want. Claire, not here this morning, she's away at a friend's wedding, but Claire is very helpful to chat through some of these things as well. Generous is the third point, generous. Paul talked about it being sacrificial. How often does our giving to God's work actually mean we go without in some area? Maybe we don't have that holiday, or we have a less extravagant holiday, or we don't buy that car, or we don't have this, that, or the other in our house. That we don't keep up with the Joneses. We're different and distinctive from those around us. Because we want to honour the Lord with our finances and with every aspect of our life. The founder of Methodism, John Wesley, it is told, in his first year as a minister, received £30, a lot of money back then. And not quite knowing how much he should give away, he thought he'd go with the Old Testament principle of tithing, so he gave a tenth away, £3 away. Then next year, or maybe a couple of years later, he found that his stipend had gone up, it had doubled, it was £60 now. And as he was thinking about what to give away, well, he said, well, I could tithe and give six. But actually, I've been fine living on £27 this last year. Therefore, that's all I need. So, well, I can give all the rest away. So he gave £33 away. And then his salary rose to £100. Well, I still only need £27 to live on. So I can give £73 away. And that was his mentality. What can I live on? What do I need for life? Well, God wants to help me with that. But the rest, I can give away in that generous, spirited nature. I think then he got married and everything changed. But it's easy as a single person, isn't it, to know how these things work. And Paul wants us to be cheerful in the midst of this. He speaks of us being cheerful in our giving, that it's not begrudging, it's not through clenched fists being eked out of us, not through a guilt trip from the vicar. That's not what I'm trying to do this morning. Sorry if it sounds like that. It's very hard to give talks like this without it sounding like a guilt trip, but that is not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help us all to grow in these regards. Miserliness is not next to godliness. Penny pinching is not God honouring. God wants us to be cheerful in our approach. Final is to be God glorifying. It ties everything together towards the end of chapter 9. It is all for God, all as an expression of thanks to him, that others will praise him. It accompanies the confession that we have of the gospel of Christ. It's all because of the surpassing grace God has given us. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Our giving is all to be to the honour and glory of God. Driven by that, driven by how we might show that he is number one in our lives. Nothing and no one else. And just to help us in that, therefore, for most Christians that will mean that the majority of their Christian to gospel ministry will be to their local church family. That seems to be the natural expression by and large. But it won't necessarily universally be so. You might want to give to the Northwest Partnership. We as the church family support them. As we do support all our mission partners financially. It's our aim to give 10% of our previous year's expenditure away. So in 2019 we're going to be trying to give 10% of what we spent on ourselves here as a church family away to our mission partners and others. So you are already giving money away through the church family, whether you know that or not. I'm going to write a bit in the newsletter giving further details of that. But maybe as an individual you want to support a particular missionary or family or connection or ministry around the world, and that's a great and wonderful and generous thing to do. So just to help us with a couple of the facts and figures as we think about planning in our cheerful, generous, planned, graceful, God-glorifying giving. How do we decide how much to give? Well, there's that way that John Wesley used of, you know, maybe start with 10%, see how it goes, and up it or down it, review your giving regularly. But to know, we need to know some of the needs that we have as a church family. And this is skewed. We need to be honest about this. A few years ago, we received pretty much £500,000 in a legacy. So we're sitting still on a pot of money that we're gradually getting through. We're being propped up by money that God has generously given us, that has allowed us to grow and flourish as a church family. But we shouldn't rely on that. We shouldn't be forever eating into that. It's our responsibility, like any household, to be covering our expenses by our income. So I've got a couple of slides, hopefully, that are helpful. There's rough figures for our expenditure. So there in the red is what we pay to the diocese. It's called the parish share. In green, our wages for Shell and Katie for ministry. So all the life of the church, everything we undertake is ministry, £32,500. Mission, giving away to our mission partners. We should have probably given a bit more away last year, £8,500. And running costs, £47,500 for sort of like the buildings, maintenance, insurance, heating, lighting, all that kind of thing. Those are the rough ballpark figures. Adds up to about £170,000 last year. So that was our expenditure, and the next slide shows our income last year. One way or another, through our regular giving of some sort or another, and including the gift aid we were able to claim back on that, we gave pretty much £80,000 as a church family, one way or another. That included a gift aid specifically to the new AV system. Other income was £27,000. That included a legacy, another legacy of £20,000, and a few other bits and bobs. And the income from what we spent on the hall, what we received from the hall was £15,000. And we spend about 11 or 12 on that each year. So that makes us a bit of profit from the rental that we have. Well, that's a lot lower, isn't it? That's about just over 120 £40,000. There's a difference in the £40,000, really, for our income to match our expenditure, like any household. That's a challenge for us that God's set before us. Yeah, in our accounts we still have nearly £250,000 of that £500,000. But it's not going to last forever at our present rate. And we need to respond to that challenge. First response is to pray that God would provide. It's his church, it's his ministry, it's his gospel. That's what we're all about, honouring and glorifying him. And we want to grow in that. But he might be prompting us to be the answer to our prayers and the prayers of others. It might be that some people want to start giving who haven't been in the habit of planned sort of regular giving, maybe giving by standing order every month, setting that and yearly reviewing it around sort of January time or something when we have our vision evening. I know that's a pattern that some folk are in. Maybe it's some thinking about upping or maybe reducing our giving if our circumstances have changed. And be praying that God would bring new people into our church family, that he would grow us in number. Claire likes to talk about the number of giving units we have in our church family. So that might be a single person who gives, or a married couple, or family who give, sort of regular people who give to our church family in that way. And we've got about 75 of those giving units, apparently, across our church family, giving roughly in that regular way, about, on average, £13 a week, I think it broke down at. If we just up that by about 10 folk, 10 giving units, and the average up, you know, to £20 a week or something like that, about £1,000 a year, that would be a big step in the right direction of covering this imbalance that we have at the moment. Now, those are ballpark figures. I know we're all in different circumstances. That is not an edict by the vicar. That's just a for instance of the kind of changes that we would need to be thinking about. And that would up us towards being more financially solvent long term into the future. You know, we're interviewing Beth this weekend to take on as a children's worker. I'd love that not to be just as long as we can pay her, but indefinitely if it goes well, or if someone else is appointed, if it goes well with them. Because that's what the life of our church family is all about. Sharing Christ with one another, with our children, with our young people, with our school, with our community. Growing disciples, helping us all to move to the right together, being partners in the gospel together as a church family. This is our responsibility. No one else is likely to give financially to us as a church family. It is on us to respond in this way. Let me pray as we finish there. Heavenly Father, once again we praise you for your grace to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that in him we might receive the extraordinary, immeasurable riches of life with you, now and in eternity. Heavenly Father, please so write these truths in our hearts, that we respond generously in every way, in all our giving of ourselves and all that you have blessed us with, as individuals and as a church family. Please grow us in this. And would you provide for all our needs? And we pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.